Thank you so much for having me here today. I have to warn you, anyone who has been my friend for one day or who has sat by me by a service, I cry all the time, so forgive me for that. Hopefully you can understand me if I cry. I have tissues right here. So, and I was really excited to be here today, and I just want to tell a little bit of my story. I am a full-time professional estate planning attorney and full-time mother. When one job ends, the other begins. So you must wonder, how did I find the time to write a sermon? Well, as with many things, it was at 10 p.m., nestled between my two lovely daughters. I admit it, I have helicopter parent tendencies and want everything to go right in their lives. Before I fall asleep, I worry about their future, wondering how I get them into medical school, how do I take away their struggles, take away their pain. But I'm starting to realize that maybe that's not the right way to think about it. In fact, perhaps it's not the pain we experience in our lives, our suffering, it's not the barrier to happiness, but rather the path. My parents, May and Lester, were first-generation Americans, having traveled across the sea from Taiwan to start a new life in their 20s. They were and are the most supportive parents I could have had. I never knew want. I never knew suffering. When I was a kid, my mother taught me how to memorize poems. Jenny kissed me when we met, jumping from the chair we sat in. But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. The owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. By the time I was in high school, I could recite dozens of poems from start to finish. The more I practiced, the better I was at this and at lots of things. Science, math, playing the piano. What? I'm Asian. Did you expect me to say sports? I learned early on, and science has proven it out, that being good at something isn't based on talent, but rather hard work. Malcolm Gladwell, in his book Outliers, takes the position that it generally takes 10,000 hours of practice to become a master at anything. Whether or not you believe this, we can all agree that the more you practice, the better you are. But in my perception, this had only to do with the physical, the external, not the emotional or the spiritual. Fast forward a decade or two, I become married and am given the most precious gift of all, my daughters. But when they are very young, their daddy falls into a deep depression and is no longer in their lives. I become the sole parent, the sole breadwinner, overwhelmed with school schedules, household chores, and never-ending billable hours. And in this dark time, shame, regret, bitterness, and rage became my mantra. Why me? What if only? As I walked through this dark valley, I was forced to face my deepest fears and my anger that life did not turn out the way I had expected. And yet, as I let go of my dreams and began to accept the reality of my life, exactly the way it is, right now, slowly the stars came out, the birds chirped, and I saw the gray light of dawn. Only then, as the sun rose in my heart, was I able to see more clearly the blessings of my friends and family and the love and goodwill of the universe. So now I'm told not to sniff or pop my peas into the microphone, so excuse me. So now, as a mother to my two girls, the most precious gifts in the world, my first instinct is to protect them, to take away any sorrow they may feel, any loss. But then I realize that it is through my own sorrow and loss that I have become the woman that I am. It was my very misfortune that was the gateway to forgiveness, compassion, and peace. The poet Khalil Gibran says, "Your joy is your sorrow unmasked, and the selfsame well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears." And how else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? And is not the lute that soothes your spirit the very wood that was hollowed with knives? I don't think this means that if you experience misfortune, you shall automatically experience corresponding joy. We all know people to whom bad things have happened, and they are definitely not joyful. In fact, they are brittle and hard. I used to throw pottery, and not every bowl would come out beautifully. For various reasons, if the clay was too wet, too thin, uneven, when put into the oven at 1800 degrees, it would explode. No, I think there is another step, a hidden step. It is not the misfortune that carves the cup to hold your joy. Rather, it is the act of experiencing that sorrow, anger, shame, of allowing your body to feel what it feels and not turning it away, that painfully but beautifully carves the space to hold your joy. When I lived in the Bay Area, we always carried a fleece, even in summer, because no matter how warm it was during the day, right around 3 p.m., it would get downright cold. One day, as I often did, I'd forgotten my fleece. I was sitting outside, shoulders up, body tight, trying to control my shivers. A friend sat down and suggested that I relax into the cold rather than try to fight it. It was nothing I had heard before, but what the heck, I tried it. So I relaxed my shoulders, took a deep breath, let the cold wash over me. And it turns out that when I let go of the fear of the cold and simply experienced the cold itself, I was no longer affected at all. So how can we allow ourselves to become more present, accepting? How can our lives become like the lute that soothes the spirit? I am very pleased to say that I think it, like memorizing a poem or studying Latin, simply comes with practice. And, as with any other challenging life question, I have created the following WikiHow. Easy step-by-step instructions for allowing misfortune to transform your life. Step 1. Have courage. When something doesn't go quite the way we had hoped, big or small, and perhaps small is a good place to start, don't be scared of your big emotions. Instead of being overwhelmed by your feelings of anger, frustration, despair, acknowledge them as what they are, big energy that just needs to be heard. Step 2. Try to find the physical place in your body, that tight spot where you are holding the big emotion. Can't feel it? Still your body a little bit more, and you should find it. Breathe and allow yourself to relax into the feeling. The emotion may feel very big, but don't worry. You're bigger. Step 3. With love. Allow the feeling to express itself without engaging. Think back to your early parenting days or puppy training days. If your little one throws a tantrum, you generally know not to take it personally. You just need to let it work itself out. Same thing for your emotion. It just needs a safe place to express itself. And it is not a bad boy or girl or puppy. It's just a feeling. Step 4. If you can give it a safe space, that big emotion or feeling will naturally recede. And voila, you have just made space in your body to hold a little bit of joy. As you repeat these steps over and over, you will become more adept, and your cup for holding joy, love, and compassion will grow deeper and deeper until it is as wide as the world. And isn't that what we all want in the end? I think on occasion of a poem by Raymond Carver, not a poem so much as a late fragment. And did you get what you wanted from this life even so? I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on the earth. As I sat in my bed, 11 p.m., typing, my girls drifting off beside me, they asked me to hold them one last time before I fell asleep. I told them tonight I couldn't. I was writing a sermon that I was dedicating to them. It is really a love letter to them, to my family, to my friends, to this community, to everyone who has been with me, supported me, wiped away my many tears, and carried me when I was unable to walk alone. To each of you, I say thank you for making me feel beloved on the earth. In our lives, everything will not go as we originally hope or expect. But that is okay. And not just okay, but good. It is the pain, disappointment, and sorrow in our lives that is the passageway to joy, love, and peace. And this is my wish for all of you. Never-ending joy, love in abundance. And it starts not with the lack of suffering, but the use of suffering to build your capacity for love, authenticity, and compassion. This, like roller skating or riding a bike, is not a magical or mystical process. It is not an aha moment of enlightenment, but rather the practice in every moment of making a choice to allow your feelings to be beloved on this earth, no matter how big or scary they may seem at first. And with all things we practice over time, our lives will slowly transform. We will become the masters of the most important things of all, ourselves.